Rashid, introduce this minisode. I'm putting you on the spot.
Wait, did we start already?
Yeah.
Number nine.
We did. Number nine, it's 19.
That's what I said. Leander knows how to count.
Welcome to Capes and Scowls, episode number 19. Actually, it's a minisode number 19. My name's Olivia. I just took over for Rashid. I'm sorry.
Oh, snap.
Keep going. You got it.
All right, so we're going to do reviews, and hey, who's going to go first?
I'll go first now. I'll do that. Yeah, I just don't know where to start exactly. So, I actually want to review this new Image book I got. It's called Saints, and it's a new number one. Let me get you an author on that. The premise of this book is actually, there's this guy, he's in a metal band, that's kind of all you know. They start off backstage, and he's there with his tour manager. It's written by Sean Lewis, Benjamin Mackey on the art. And he's backstage, he's kind of got his groupies and everything, just typical metal band, exactly what you expect. And the groupie's like, no, you know, I'm not putting out for anybody unless I see the devil. I want to see the devil, like, right now. And, you know, the tour manager's like, look, this chick's crazy. I have no idea what she's talking about. But the lead singer, actually, he can't, like, talk or anything. So this the main character, I think his name's, like, what is it? It's, like, something crazy. It's, like, a Monster or something like that. Monster Blaze is the character's name. You just see these, like, kind of, like, really cool light tattoos, like, light up on his arm. He puts his hands on this guy's throat, and you just see a shadow, and, like, all this crazy stuff starts happening. So Monster starts talking about how he has these visions of seeing himself in all gold robes, and just, like, a real prophetic vision that he's seeing. And he's about to go on stage, and he's getting with this groupie, and he gets this arrow, and it says, "Your knight in shining armor." So he meets this guy in the parking lot, and he just tries to fight the guy, and the guy just puts him out, like, really easy. He's like, please don't take advantage of me, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, the character's clearly a gay character, but he's like, I'm not here for that. I'm here because you've been seeing visions. I've been seeing visions. Something's about to go down. Something's about to go wrong. So I'm going to leave you guys there. You should definitely check this book out yourself. It's very biblical, very cool. I think it's a really good book to review around the Halloween time because it's got a little bit of everything. Especially occultism. And the art is, it's weird. It takes some getting used to, but it's definitely different from everything else I'm seeing nowadays.
Nice.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Sure, I guess I'll go, since everyone's looking this way. So, the first book I have is Will Eisner's The Spirit, written by Matt Wagner. So, I don't know what's going on. This is issue number 4, so I just jumped right in there to see how I felt about it. By Dynamite. This is by Dynamite Comics.
Do you remember that we reviewed issue 1?
Yeah, of course. And so,
I knew you didn't.
What seems to be going on is that the spirit's missing, right? And so they're trying to figure out who did it, blah, blah, blah. So it seems like there's these two guys who are trying to, who are apparently used to be the spirit's, like, sidekicks or past friends or something. They're going through all the lists of all, every bad guy the spirit ever tried to beat up, right? And so they're going, Tim, stop it. So
I accused you of not actually reading these books earlier, that you were just going to go blah, blah, blah and get your way through the book, and you said blah, blah, blah. So
the villain that they're choosing to address this time is, I don't really know how to say her name, Ms. Figel, maybe? I don't know. You guys who know the spirit better, you guys would know what her real name is. So basically they come to her to say, what happened to the spirit? He's missing. You must have been, did you kill him? Basically, right? So apparently she gives this long story of, like, I know exactly what happened. Just give me $20,000 and I'll tell you. And they're like, oh, okay. And so, you know, they're innocent and, you know, like, oh, I saved money for this. And so she tells this amazing story of how, you know, they're out in Russia and they're moving stuff around and the spirit comes and tries to fight the bad guys off, and eventually he gets caught, and so the madam, Miguel, locks him up in a, like, a little chamber, and she goes down there to try and say, like, this is the last time we're going to see each other, very James Bondish, right? And then her thugs, her goons, supposedly loyal goons, throw a dynamite in there to try and kill both of them, and the spirit gets out of that, gets him out of the room, everything explodes, and she says, that's how the spirit dies. And so you get this really awesome story of what could have happened, except for that's all a lie. So it was a really awesome story to find out how she thinks the spirit died. I don't know why she was trying to cover up for the death of, but I think maybe she just wanted the money at the end of the day. She's a really cool character. She apparently is openly okay with the idea that everyone knows that she marries. She's married to 6 different people and within her lifetime, and she's killed all of them. And she takes all their money. So that's just kind of her style. So she's a really great character. And the spirit, I don't really know anything about Will Eisner's spirit, to be quite honest. But he seems like your Batman-y kind of...
That's what I'm not familiar with this book. Is this like more like a noir?
Old school. The spirit might even have come out before Batman.
Right.
Spirit's old.
Mm-hmm. Like this is like a, but they've kept the setting of like that kind of like 30s, 40s noir.
Right. It's noir, mm-hmm. very much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize we had seen the movie The Spirit.
Yeah, don't
when it came out.
Yeah, don't do that.
I didn't remember mm-hmm. having seen it. I have no recollection of that movie.
You are so.
When did it come out?
2008, 2009.
Oh, so it's a recent movie.
Don't watch that movie.
Okay.
It's got Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Don't watch that
and
movie.
And that's all I know.
Do well, not watch that movie.
The lead actor's in a TV show I like.
Yeah, he's in
I,
Suits.
Yeah, I
Gabriel.
Love that.
Oh, I know.
Gabriel Mock. I love that show. It's great.
He's an amazing actor. Don't watch that movie.
I have no recollection of this in the movie.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it now.
Don't do it.
You're telling me not to.
No. Don't do it.
The only thing I'll add is at the very end of this book, of the spirit, you find out. So the spirit actually is alive, because he's actually talking to another friend of his while they're going through the story with Madame Pigalle. And at the end, you find out that the two little innocent guys who are just trying to figure out what happened to the spirit have decided to up their game, and they're going after one of the biggest, baddest people. So you'll find out who that is if you read the issue.
Is it the octopus?
You'll find out.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, so I guess continuing around, I read 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. Don't call her the Cavalry, number one. If you watch the show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's based around the Cavalry. She's one of my favorite characters in the show. I really enjoy the book. It's just basically, she's training a group of cadets. She takes them to an island, and their goal is to get her. So it's her against the group of cadets. And it's just like them building up a story about who she is. It's like, oh, we heard that she killed 30 people and got out without any harm, and they just keep making up all these stories. So it's about, like, how her persona is way bigger than what it actually is. So I think it's standalone, because at the end it just says the end. But if you enjoy her as a character on the show, you'd really like the book. It's interesting to see how new people would view this, what would be, like, you know, one of the best S.H.I.E.L.D. agents of all time, ever, like, their perspective on her and being trained by her.
Nice. I picked this up also. I haven't gotten to read it yet. And just because of the name, like, do they actually give what you think to be a truthful assessment of why she's called the Cavalry, or is it still just adding to the legend?
They go over why she's called the Cavalry in the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm not there yet, I guess.
So they go over it in that. And
is that after season one?
Yeah. It's season two.
Okay.
And that picks way up.
All right.
Like, season two is so much better than season one, I feel.
Okay. I'm excited now. For the comic and the show.
And her character just stays good through everything.
She's the best.
She's my favorite.
Ah, the Cavalry. All right, Rashid, you're going to help me do this one, right? We both have this? Clean Room number one, a Vertigo book by Gail Simone, who I love. Gail Simone is one of the best writers there is. This book was so weird.
It was.
What did you think of it? Because it's very strange. It's kind of a play on Scientology.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. Especially, you know, you get two alternating viewpoints in the beginning, and the cultism and the Scientology. And this is why I added this to my pile too. I wanted to keep with that theme for Halloween coming up. But I think they do a really good job. They haven't really gotten to that creepy factor yet, but you know that there's something there, something that you don't understand, something that's kind of mystical. And
the art's great.
The art is really good. The art's phenomenal. The cover is what really just drew me in. I saw this. I was like, I have to have this. This is part of Vertigo's series. They're trying to do a new number one every week. I think this is a strong start. The only problem I have with it is what I have with most number ones that aren't like, you know, you got Captain America White not too long ago, and it was like, you know, you got the Zero issue, you got the first issue. I just wish I had a little bit more. It's hard for me to assess it just because...
That's what I said when the Zero issue came out 7 years ago.
Yeah. It's just like, I like where this ends off. It kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger. But I want to know more about the... Right. Because there's a psychedelic aspect to this, too.
Right. So this woman, her husband, like, gets these self-help books, and he's, like, getting way into these books. There's the comparison to Scientology. And then he's, like, volunteering, and didn't they say the author originally wrote horror books or something?
She wrote horror books, and I think it's... She It was only one self-help book, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and then everybody goes nuts over it.
You either go insane, or you understand everything.
Right.
Yeah, you're the most intelligent person in the world.
So
but
most people go insane or die.
But
he ends up dead.
Yeah, he ends up...
So she's trying to... She goes through all kinds of horrible things, and she's trying to find this woman who wrote the book and confront her about it to find out what is up with this book. What did you guys do to make him end up dead? Like, what was the whole thing? So, it's a weird, weird mystery book. She's a great writer. I don't know. Maybe I'll check out number two.
I'll check out number two.
The art's great, though.
The art's great. They also introduce another character that seems to be her fiance's best friend, who's like right in that middle. He's not clinically insane. He's still alive. He's obviously not mentally well.
Right.
But he survived, it seemed like. He said something about, you know, I'm off drugs, but I actually feel worse now that I'm off drugs because the drugs keep the voices away. And throughout this comic, you see demons. You see just a bunch of things that I would definitely recommend checking out. This one, and I'm actually probably going to add this to my poll then. I like where this is going.
Very weird, very dark book. But if you like that kind of stuff, you'll like this. And Gail Simone's great. So
cool.
You want to review that Iron Man you didn't read?
I read it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were reading it now, and I was like, go ahead.
No,
it's got to be
like preparing how I'm going to talk about
it. Tim always thinks no one's ready.
Way to assume.
Yeah. He's the worst assumer.
I mean, you see what I'm working with.
I feel like you should lead in with how good that book feels.
That's fair. I'm sorry.
I think I deserve a little more than that.
We'll cuddle later.
All right.
All right, wife Olivia.
I read Invincible Iron Man number one. It's pretty short read. I read this in like 5 minutes, but it starts with, like, you see, I think her name's Madame Mask or something, and it looks like she gets a briefcase of something, and it could be a gun. I don't know. That's what it looks like. But then you go into... Now you see Tony Stark in his, like, workshop, and he's doing, like, you know, Tony Stark things. And he, one, like, cool thing about this is that he sort of figured out how to upgrade his suit so that it actually evolves to, like, change according to, like, what his environment is, apparently. But, like, we don't see that yet, so, like... That would be interesting to see in the future, like, what exactly his suit does now. One thing that bothered me about this was that just the, like, the panel formatting, like, was really confusing.
It was. It really was. I agree with that.
That, like, I thought, like, I was gonna go, like, just normal on the one
side
of the page.
When he's in his workshop, right?
And then, like...
It's a couple times throughout. Yeah, where it's like, that's the one you need to read across, but you need to read down and then across, and then you're like, it's just sort of all like really scattered.
Yeah, it was definitely strange.
Some people get a little too fancy with their layouts, and I don't need super fancy. Just give me the regular setup. I don't care. I want a good story.
Nothing's crazier than that Batman when he was the Court of Owls, where you're turning the book every 2 seconds. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, like, a lot of times you can tell, like, it's going to be like a full 2-page, like, I'm going to go across the 2 pages to read. Like, a lot of times it's obvious, but this time it's not. So that kind of annoyed me, just like, I have to, like, reread what I just read to make it make sense to me. Tony Stark's on a date with this character who's, like, a beautiful woman who's very intelligent, and she kind of, like, he asks her a question, like, so, like, what's your, like, what's your thing that you have? And she's like, what? And he's like, well, wait, what does he say exactly? Hold on a second.
What did you...
It's like, what's the thing that you, like, invented that you're keeping to yourself? That, like, will, like, save the world, or that's not ready for the world to see? And she's like, oh, yeah, I have one of those. And it's that, like, I actually found a cure for mutants that doesn't harm the host at all.
Whoa.
He's like, whoa.
So you know that's just going to retcon everything.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
She's like, And she's like, I never wrote it down because I knew, like, it was bad once I thought of it, and I don't want anyone to find it after I die or something. So I thought that was interesting. And that was about it. I mean, the end I didn't really get because I haven't read Secret Wars or anything.
Don't worry, no one has.
No, right. Nobody knows
that Dr. Doom's still alive.
I really like the art of that book, I will say.
The best part of that book, the best part is the art. The art's amazing throughout.
I'm going to redeem Iron Man right now. I know everybody is. So far, I'm going to guess that I'm the only person liking this book.
I didn't hate it.
Did you read the second one? The second one
is the second one of this?
Yeah, it just came out yesterday.
No. I thumbed through it. I wasn't engrossed.
Yeah, it's. I feel like it's hard to like without Secret Wars being complete. It's all new, and it's all different. So it's not going to be like, it's not going to be the
drinking the Kool-Aid
Victor Von Doom that you know. It's not the Iron Man that you know. But I do like the direction they're going with it. I like the Madame Mask character.
She's a good character.
Yeah.
I like that they kind of fixed his like douchebaggery.
Yeah, they definitely worked on that. But one of the things they said in that with the suit, to elaborate on the suit, is that a bunch of college kids kind of reverse engineered the technology of Stark Industries. So he's trying new things. He's trying different things. And one of the things that happens in issue two is that he's starting to work with Victor Von Doom. And I really want to see where that goes. I'm enjoying this, but I do want to segue this into... I wasn't going to review Amazing Spider-Man number 2 this week. But I kind of... These books, it seems like if you read one, you should read the other. Because I think they're going to be very connected.
Those two in particular?
In particular. Amazing Spider-Man 2 this week, issue number 2, was phenomenal. It was one of my favorite reads. Best book, I think, that's come out since all new, all different Marvel started. So, in the last issue... The Zodiac actually gets one of Peter Parker's personal devices, but he has an encryption on it. So he's like, oh, okay, you know what? It's fine. We have their base. I can track it down. So they have this underwater base. And the thing that I like about Iron Man, the thing that I like about Spider-Man, and it's all new, all different, the blend of combat and comedy is perfect. Especially with Spider-Man, they're under there, and there's these two Zodiac kind of henchmen, and they're floating in their little submarine. And it's like, oh, look at these two humpback whales. I call this one Tim, and I call this one John. Oh, that's a new one. I'm going to call him Ron. And the other one's just like, oh, I really wish we just stayed that shield. I can't do this anymore. So one of the things that Peter Parker's doing, because he has to make more public appearances, is that he has Hobie Brown, the Prowler, as Spider-Man whenever he needs a stand-in Spider-Man. He's kind of taking the old-school Iron Man route of, oh, that's just my bodyguard. So... there's this one part where they're breaking in and they're about to fight, like, these Zodiac guys. And Hobie Brown sees, I think it's the Pisces, and he just socks him in the face. He's like, this is for what happened last time we saw each other. And he goes, what are you talking about, man? I have no idea who you are. Because back then he was in the Spider-Man suit, now he's in the Prowler suit. It's just definitely a good read. I recommend both books. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right. All right. Is that it?
I mean, we have more, but I think we're... How's time doing there, Tim?
It's timey. All right, we'll stop it if you want. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this mini-sode. You can find us at CapesandScowlsPodcast.com, CapesandScowlsPodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter. Rashid's on Twitter. Cliff and Olivia, they're around. You can find them. Ask them questions.
Don't ask me questions.
Don't ask you questions?
I probably don't have the answers.
Don't ask me no questions. I tell you no lies.
I like lies. All right.
You're my favorite.
Aww. Still my podcast.